The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
And welcome back, folks, coming to you from the Oasis Training Room at Train ND Northwest. Jason Spiess here, along with Howard Klug. He's the mayor of Williston. How are we doing today, sir?
Doing well. Lots of things going on, and just had a two-hour meeting with the National Guard, Emergency Management, State Radio. The days just keep going and running together.
Sounds like you're actually a busy mayor doing your job, huh?
Well,
you're wearing the shirt and the hat. You're a walking billboard. I love it.
Well, that started out today with the county liaison meeting, and then unfortunately the senior center's cook quit, so I'm the backup cook over there. So I have to do Meals on Wheels and those kind of things until they find somebody, which hopefully will be soon.
See, a lot of people don't know that's in the town charter, that if the senior center cook quits, the mayor has to take over and become that cook. No, that's okay. Did someone else? Now he's got to go and wash some windows.
He can wait. This guy can.
So let's talk a little bit about Williston. It's a community, just by basically the intro here about, you know, the mayor going in and stepping in when the cook quits. That really demonstrates that you guys are a community first and foremost, starting at the top.
Well, absolutely. And it was a few years ago that we just about lost our senior center because of they didn't know how to write grants and those kind of things. And then I got involved in it, probably got too involved in it, because now I'm the go-to guy again. But one of the things that happened is they just changed directors. The director that had been down there did a great job, had retired. So a new person came on. She's still getting her feet wet. And I'll do whatever I can until next week when I have to go on vacation. We'll get through it. You know, I always say that. We'll be okay.
Well, that's good to hear. I want to talk a little bit about the community center, the ARC. That has been such a gem for this community. Is that something that you've seen some positivity on? Because I know there was a little bit of controversy when it first started. I remember a number of years ago. But honestly, I haven't heard very much negativity towards that, except for maybe that the surf waves don't go high enough or something like that. So talk to me a little bit about the ARC and your relationship there.
Well, a gathering spot and a new spot for people that come into town, whether, and then once again, older folks use that facility a lot. We use that for training. We use it for swim meets. You know, Katie Ledecky, the world champion gold medalist, she swam the first lap in that pool.
No kidding.
Because her grandmother still lives here in the city of Williston.
Because it's an Olympic regulation pool.
Absolutely.
I do remember that from the story originally when it was being built. I have photos of it when it was just dirt, actually.
So, you know, and now with pickleball coming in and basketball tournaments, golf simulator, I could go on and on and on about what that facility has inside of it. But more than that, it's what it brings to the city of Williston. Anybody that comes there, that's one of the tours that I take them on if they're thinking about reestablishing themselves to the city of Williston, whether it's a new city administrator or a new principal at the St. Joe's School or at the District 7. I bring them over there and just show them what's going on here in Williston. And that is being paid for by a 1 cent sales tax. And what the citizens got in return was that the portion of the property tax that was paying for Parks and Rec went away. So it was actually property tax reduction. Plus, the other thing is, you know, a family rate over there is about $600 a year for how many. And me, as a senior, I pay $275 or something a year. It's real inexpensive. Plenty of programs, lots of things. In the wintertime, it's a go-to place for birthday parties, indoor pool, the slide, a lot of different things. And then, even more than that, we use it as one of our main polling places.
Oh, for elections?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So the county goes in there, and that's one of their main thing. Earlier this spring, when we had that terrible storm up here and everybody was out of power, we probably had 125 cots set up in that building so people could come in, use the facilities, the showers, our emergency management came in, provided breakfast and a place for them to stay, and had it all set up. So as you can see, that building is being used for a lot of different events, and we find ways to repurpose that all the time. So it's just truly amazing for our city. You know, when it was first built, it was the second largest center like that was publicly owned in the country.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's really saying something about Little Williston, North Dakota out here.
It is. And, I mean, these are – I was familiar with the one down in Dickinson when I was living there for a year when the Bakken was going back in 2011-12. And I'll be honest, that's where I showered. That's where I started my day every day was because – and I thought when the Williston one gets going – I can't tell you how many families are going to be using that for a number of different reasons. And then when I started seeing all the different amenities that were in there, I mean, we were talking yesterday, you can go surfing, then you can go rock climbing in the same building during the wintertime. And there's not a lot of places you can do that in the United States. So just all play basketball and pickleball, you said. Do you play pickleball?
No, I don't play pickleball. No? I need a little knee work done, but...
well, you're in a pickle then. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Exactly right. But it's scheduled. But, you know, that's another thing. You know, Williston's growing. It used to be that I had to go to Bismarck to get work done on knees and stuff like that. You can do that right here now.
I heard a clinic that possibly might turn into a hospital is coming to Williston. Talk about, you know, from when you became mayor back in 2014 to today, what types of changes have you seen? We talked about the community center, which has been a big boon. You're wearing the Williston Basin International Airport, one of three airports to actually physically, geographically be moved in the nation. You know, so St. George, Utah was one, another one. I've been there too. That's another, obviously, boon for the community. But what are some of the other areas that you're seeing some real positivity in the growth areas?
Well, you know, one of the things that we had to do is we went from 12,000 people to probably 36,000 people in a short time. Our wastewater treatment plant was built for 14,000 people. Lagoon systems, which was very efficient. But we were in trouble with the Corps of Engineers and the State Health Department, et cetera. So we spent about $110 million on a new state-of-the-art system, and now we treat all our wastewater in a facility not too far from here, and that water actually comes out cleaner than what's in the river right now. So environmentally friendly, we position ourselves to grow to 60, 70,000 people. So that facility there will get us to be that 60 or 70,000 population. Same thing with the landfill. We've added cells to that, paid for by oil field waste and those kind of things. So now we're good there for another 60 or 70 years. Same thing with our public works building. We built a new building there. We consolidated everything downtown. I'm a big fan of keeping government together. We remodeled City Hall, put a new chamber on there. Then we put all of our development services into one building, downtown Williston. The county remodeled their buildings, downtown Williston. So once you get downtown Williston and you want to do something with the government, you're set. And then from there, you go out to our old airport site. We moved the airport, and it's about 10 miles outside of town, and one of the few places that we could put the airport because there was no oil wells in this facility, so we had to miss the oil wells. You can't put them next to landfills because there's too many seagulls and those kind of things. So we finally found a spot. And, you know, kind of proud that I'm probably the only mayor in the country right now that could put on my resume, he built a new airport from scratch.
That's true.
And then, you know, the same thing with our airport director out there. How would you like to see that on him? You know, and the guy's young, you know, 32, 3 years old. Have that on your resume, mm-hmm. that you built a brand new airport in Williston, North Dakota.
Denver was the third one.
Denver was the third one.
So Denver's St. George, Utah, and Williston, North Dakota. So
yeah. You know, there's a lot of work being done on airports all across the country, but to actually build it from scratch, you're right, there's three.
That's how rare it is. I mean, people need to understand that because you have so many red tape bureaucracy hoops to go through from, I didn't even think about the seagulls. I didn't even think about the seagulls, but that is a problem that you can't have seagulls going in the engines. That's going to create crashes.
Well, absolutely. You know, and we built this airport for the future once again, and we were doing in our old airport at Sloland Field, we were doing in 1 month what that airport was designed for an entire year. And now, you know, we opened the airport. It was three years ago, actually, at the beginning of October. And then the pandemic hit, so, you know, we had a struggle. But now it's come back, and we are actually the percentage-wise, we're coming back faster than any airport in North Dakota. And I really believe that if we would not have built that new airport, Williston would not have air service today with the way that these airlines are pulling out because of the pandemic and because of the pilot shortage and those kind of things. Sure, you know, we have less air service than we had before, but we still have air service from here to Denver. We still have the flight from here to Las Vegas, and then one from here to Minneapolis. And those will continue on. The flights are full all the time. The people that come into that airport is just truly amazed, especially if they flew into the old one. And then going farther than that, so now you have 700 acres. And what's going on out there? Well, you mentioned that Sanford Health is planning on going out there, and we've got an agreement signed with them for some property out there where they're going to build a clinic, and then after that expand into a hospital. Our local nursing home, Bethel Home, has picked up 20 acres out there. We built a state-of-the-art 911 center out there. And we repurposed the old terminal, and General Dorman with the National Guard was in there a couple weeks ago, and he said today that your facility is much better than what the state has. And that's because we've used sales tax money, we've repurposed things that we had in the city of Williston, and we've got a commitment that we're going to do what keeps people safe out here. And I mentioned earlier about how the emergency response was for the big storm that we had. Our call center, 911 center, probably handles 250 calls a day out there. And then next to them, the old hangar, that's where the energy center is going to be. There's a group of people in town that are talking about putting in 3 sheets of ice, because right now, just like every other town, you finding ice time, it's either 6 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night. And they're using that. City of Williston is basically donating that building to them. And it was a $3.5 million hangar, plus the ground underneath it, which is probably another $5 million. So we get involved in all of these things. We have another group that's building an outdoor pool here in the city, and the city of Williston did some land swapping and those kind of things. So we got those people set up too. Another thing for quality of life and to attract people to the city. We also, in the square so far, we got a clothing store. It's called Genesis, and they were a little bit farther west of town. But since they moved to the square and that property, he's doing amazing out there. And then he sells these Oakley sunglasses, and he's going to be one of only 12 stores in the whole country where you can go in there and try on sunglasses. Virtual reality shows you what they look like in your face and everything else. And he's doing real well out there. Another franchise out there was the Slim Chickens line. They're throughout North Dakota and those kind of things. They're doing real well. When they opened up, it beat all records of all the stores that they've ever opened. Pete's Ranch, we've got in talks with them. I think they've just closed on their property. Taco Bell, same thing. So a lot of people are interested in that square area and interested in other things in this town too. You see a building pop up over here and another one over there. It's hard to find a retail spot here in Williston. And that comes from Keith Olson at Small Business here. And Keith himself, he does, out of those small business development centers, he does about 40% of the small business development that's run through that office in the whole state. I mean, that includes Grand Forks and Fargo and Minot and Bismarck and Dickinson and you name the big ones. And he does about 40% of those things. So mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that are looking what's going on here in Williston. You know, I could sit here and talk about things all day long with you. And it's just, well, where else do you have two international grocery stores in your city? We have one on Main Street, and we have one out at the Sand Creek Center. And that's just because we've had people move here from all over the world looking for opportunities, looking for jobs, finding jobs. And then, you know, they would come here, and some of them would be employed in the oil field right away. Other ones would go probably and work at Walmart. And then after a year or so like that, they say, you know, I can run my business. I can do that. And we provide them the opportunity to get together with Keith Olson and Sean Winkle to have a business plan. And then after that, we have Star Fund money. We have State of North Dakota money. It goes on and on. You know, yesterday we approved value-added ag, a barley roasting facility, $200,000 upfront seed money, and that's matched 2-1 from the Bank of North Dakota. So instead of just growing it, selling it, and shipping it, they add some value to it, and then they sell it to the beer makers or whoever uses malted barley and those kind of things. And we're seeing a lot more interest in those kind of things. So it's not all oil. It's movement. We were talking about medical centers and those kind of things. We just opened up another clinic on the other side of town for local ladies, put together a thought about how they're going to treat children, how they're going to treat adults, some mental health components to this, PT components to this, and they opened up a brand new clinic over there too. We're seeing a lot of those pediatric care clinics. So my goal has always been that Williston was a regional center for Northwest North Dakota, and that's part of it, that we're a regional center for medical. We're, once we build the energy center along with the community center, will be a regional center for hockey, for events and those kind of things. We have the college over here, a great partner through Northwest North Dakota. You know, there's so many counties around here, and you probably know this, but if you graduated from high school from any of, I believe it's eight counties in North Dakota and six counties in Montana, you can go to school over here free. Books, tuition paid for,
mm-hmm.
and also housing. There's a housing part of that too. And the first 2 years free. I've heard talk about another university center coming in and partnering with UND, having a 2+2 program. So there will be an opportunity for nurses, educators, engineers, business people to get a 4-year degree here in the city of Williston without leaving town.
I'm already lobbying to get Phil Jackson to come back and enroll. He's from here, so he can take advantage of that program. I understand it goes back if you were born in 1929. So it's teach an old dog new tricks. I do want to ask you about the energy center or oil and gas overall. The industry is going through a little bit of a change, whether it be through regulation or innovation. It's changed in your 10 years that you've been, or 8 years that you've seen, been mayor here. Talk to me about the oil and gas industry in Williston and the energy center too. What is that energy center? I guess I didn't.
Well, the energy center is what I meant, was the hockey center.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's just what they're calling it to show that the energy is still here in Williston, North Dakota. We want it.
Sure.
But getting back to...
the oil and gas part.
Oil and gas. You know, there's a lot of things going on with that. Unfortunately, with regulations and those kind of things, it's hampered the investment that could have flown into, that could have come into Northwest North Dakota in the Bakken region. Some of that money has gone elsewhere down to the Permian and other things. So we're looking at other things that's going on up here. And one of the things that we have a problem with is transportation of the oil out. You know, we can only move probably 500,000 plus through the DAPL pipeline. And the rest of that has to go somewhere, and it's by rail. You get it out to the East Coast or the West Coast on rail cars still. And I think the latest figures were a little less than 1.1 million barrels a day. So you still have to move a lot of that product out. So what we're doing out here now is out in the Trenton area, there is talks about Cerleon, which is going to take natural gas and turn it into liquids. There's other Wellspring Hydro is going to take the production water and using those kind of thing, the minerals to produce chlorides. There's talk about a refinery out there to make jet fuel. That whole area, there's a new data center out there that uses, 12 times the power that City of Williston uses from Montrell Williams out here. Another, you know, it was amazing. I was out at Montrell Williams, and they had 55 to 60 of these big transformers. And I said, well, where are they going? They're going to go out to the data center. And I asked Dale Haugen, the manager out there, how many of these things could take care of the city of Williston? He said 4 or 5. So, you know, and that's another thing that's happening out here. And it's mining Bitcoin, but it's the data mm-hmm. center part of it.
Is that helping or hurting? You know, you mentioned the amount of energy that's taken from the grid. You know, one of the big challenges that these electric vehicles are finding out is that the current grid infrastructure doesn't allow you to plug it in at home. It only allows a certain amount of people, so they got to redo the entire grid. Are these data centers helping, or are they kind of creating some issues? Because we still haven't figured out the grid problems yet.
Well,
that's why we had the transmission guys on earlier.
Well, one of the things that, and I had this conversation with somebody just the other day, and it's a valid question. because if they're not using the power, what do? You ship it down the line somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And, okay, how do you get it down the line? I mean, do you put new infrastructure in? Do you put new transmission lines in? Those kind of things. One individual said to me, and it got me thinking, that wind turbines only have a limited lifetime, and then you have to dispose of them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you know, a lot of our power goes to Minnesota and other states that do not have wind towers. They've regulated them out of business and stuff like that. Well, they should still be able to, we should still be able to ship those wind towers over there and let them dispose of them. And I'm saying, well, that's a thought. You could also pay somebody here to dig a hole on their property and bury them too, but it's one of those things. And where does that energy come from? It's natural gas. They burn natural gas. They burn coal. We have a little bit of hydro still. We have a lot of wind towers going up in North Dakota. We put up with, you know, whether you like them or not, they produce power. And they're highly, the government pays for a lot of those. But when it comes back out here and they buy that much power from your local REC or whatever, the people that own that REC is not some corporation. It's a farmer out here. It's this person over here that is a member of that cooperative, and their rates don't go up. I mean, it's what lets them live the lifestyle that they want to maintain being a North Dakotan, because it takes a lot of money to get power from point A to point B when you have all these poles, and at the end of the line you have one farmstead or something like that, or you have one oil well, or you have, and all of that stuff has to be paid for. And if this is one way of doing that, that's great. You know, North Dakota is not, I was talking to somebody the other day and asking questions about rolling blackouts, and do you think that's ever going to happen here in North Dakota? And I don't think so. I think that we're in pretty good shape there. Should we share the wealth throughout the country with the power that we're generating out here? Yeah, you know, if we have excess power and those kind of things, but if we can add some value to this area, we've put up with a lot, you know, going through the oil boom and everything else and getting the Bakken shale. So we could be energy independent here in this country. And every time you turn around, somebody else was protesting about what you're doing out here, pipelines, those kind of things. You talk to farmers now, and one of the best things that ever happened is that they put in all the pipelines so that the water, the gas, the oil, all of those things are underneath the ground and shipped to facilities that could handle them and refine them and those kind of things. And it gets thousands of trucks off the road. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that was the biggest thing. The roads aren't destroyed anymore. The farmers have their lifestyle back. It's just one thing leads to the next. You get more innovative. You find better ways of doing things. And, you know, take Crusoe Energy for another one. You know, the gas that was being flared at these oil well sites, because we're doing a pretty good job. I think it's 96.7% of that gas that we're capturing. But there's still flared gas. They move out. They set up a data center right at that well, produce electricity right there, mine the data or generate the data and ship it up to the cloud. And so that's another innovative way of using the resources that we have out here. Other things, you know, other things that's going on. I mentioned value added ag out here. We're diversifying in that sense. We're getting smarter about recycling water. I mentioned our wastewater plant, a small a small thing, but we're not using as much water as we were before, conservation-wise on the water. You know, we've got the Missouri River. We've got enough water. We've got plenty of water. When WAS came in here, Western Area Water Association, and put in all the lines to the various communities around us and to Watford City and to the farmers and those kind of things, it increased their lifestyle immensely out on the farm. It allowed Watford City to grow to what it was today. It's the same thing with Ray, Tioga, all the way up to Crosby, Gonora, and those kind of things. We moved fresh water to all these things, and that happened because, sure, the state of North Dakota gave them a big loan, but they're using the energy industry to sell water to them for production and those kind of things, and that money comes back and pays for the WAS system.
Mm-hmm. Last question here. Just over the course of your mayorship, last 10 years we'll call it, even though a little over 8 years, what's the number one story, the thing that stands out the most to you over the last 8 to 10 years?
Well, it's just the people that came up here. And they come in from all over the country. You know, when this thing first started, the rest of the country was in a recession. We were the place that was hot to be. And they all came up with their own ideas. They all came up and that's not the way we do it where I come from. And this wouldn't happen the way where I came from. And no, your regulations are too strict because we didn't have to do this in Michigan and we didn't have to do this wherever. And after they'd been here for a while, they realized that there is a North Dakota way. And there's also, we can work with anybody. And I've always said that. I can work with anybody. But you're not going to run over us. And after they've been here for a while, you know, our average age goes from about 57 years old down to, right now we're down to about 32. For a while there, there was 800 some babies being born all the time. So what does that do? It puts a strain on your school, and we're going to figure that out. We've added over 1,100 daycare spots in the last 5 years by working with providers. Using Star Fund money, we put in about $2.4 million, worked with 38 of the 44 daycare providers. So we look at all aspects of that. And then, you know, the other thing that happens to a city when you grow and you get all these people from everywhere, you've got 30 different languages being spoken in your school, so you got to take care of those kind of things. The good things is that whether you're religious or not, we've got church after church after church popping up to take care of the needs of people that come up here and is looking for opportunities and those kind of things.
By the way, that's remarkable. 30 different languages, and you might be exaggerating a bit, but I have no idea, because in Moorhead, Minnesota, which is right next to Fargo,
yeah.
At the junior high, they had 78. I'm not kidding you. That's 78 different languages in that junior high school. And when you think about the strain on the communication, the taxpayers, and just everything, I didn't realize that you guys had that diversity of languages up here.
Well, I'm not exaggerating. I think I'm a little bit under.
Being conservative, okay.
I usually understate the issues to make sure that, because the issues are so large. You know, I mentioned all those projects that we did here in the city of Williston. And, you know, you put in over $1 billion worth of infrastructure in 5 or 6 years. And you take on tremendous amounts of manageable debt. Manageable debt is the key there. So your city goes from having very little debt to 300 and some million dollars, and we're taking it down slowly but surely, and we'll get it under control. We always have used a lot of different resources to build things that we had to build. The state of North Dakota, money out of the Bakken, the oil revenues, Fargo by far has got more money than anybody else in the state of North Dakota out of the oil that's coming out of the Bakken region. And they're getting a ton more with their flood control project. And do they need it? Absolutely, they need it. We can all work together on this thing. We've had new road projects out here. I'm a big fan of building roads, and we connected Wollaston. We built a truck reliever route. We're working on other things here in the city of Wollaston, always trying to figure out how to get them paid for, and always making sure that when we go down to Bismarck and pitch a new idea, or when we go down to Bismarck and explain to them what's going on here in the oil patch, we've got our problems too. I mean, it's like everybody else in this country trying to find people to work these rigs and those kind of things. If we had more workers up there, I would imagine that we'd have 10 or 12 more rigs working right now, even with the transportation problems that we have. But everybody's busy. Everybody's making money. Things are looking good for right now. You know, I don't know where oil is today. I haven't had time to look, but I would imagine it's between 80 and 85 bucks. You know, that's a good price for oil. There's a lot of money that's being used for good things, and the big producers, they're making money too. If the regulations and politics out of Washington weren't where they are, you know, gas prices wouldn't be $6 in California and $3.89 here in Wollaston and those kind of things. So we look at all of those things. We look at what's happening in the country. We're coming out of the pandemic pretty good because we never really shut down here in Wollaston. Our stores didn't shut down. We had some mandates and those kind of things, but we figured out how to keep the restaurants open. We figured out how to keep the stores open and those kind of things. So we really didn't have a mass closure of businesses. Sure, we had mass mandates and those other things. Our hospital was overwhelmed like any place else, but we did whatever we could to make sure that we were as insulated as possible, and what we did saved a lot of our businesses too up here.
Mayor Howard Klug, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet.
Interested in becoming a sponsor? Email studio@thecrudelife.com.